Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
John 19, 25 through 27. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to his disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his home. Honor your mother. Just honor her. If you're alive today, it's because you had a mother who birthed you. So no matter where you stand, honor her in the Lord and allow the Holy Spirit to lead you into how you honor her. Maybe it's a letter so you can keep your distance. Maybe it's a call, or maybe it's a stop by. But whatever you can do, honor your mother in the Lord. Amen? All right. So we got that out of the way, but I needed to do it because I don't know who's on the fence. Honor your mother. All right. I am going to be talking today about This Is The Way. Shout out to all my Mandalorian fans out there. Okay, good. I am a complete Star Wars nerd, so This Is The Way. But I'm not going to be talking about the Mandalorian way, of course. Today, I want to talk to you about truly knowing and going the way of the Lord for yourself, but not only for yourself, for your family. For your family. And this is going to be a two-part message. Praise God, it's not a 10-part message. Two-part message. Part one, Jesus is the turning point. Once you meet him, your life should be forever changed. Jesus changed me. Like, you wouldn't like the old Mandy. I know, it's surprising. But I didn't like the old Mandy. Jesus changed me completely. And, of course, I'm going to go to John 14, 5 through 6. You may stand to your feet for the reading of the word if you like to, just to honor the word that we speak today. John 14, 5 through 6. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Have you ever been there? I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know. And you just have a sense of confusion, of loss. You feel lost. That's what Thomas was saying. He said, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You may be seated. Let me see a show of hands. Have you ever felt like Thomas? You felt lost? I don't know what I'm doing. You may feel that right now. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know which job to take. I don't know which house to buy. I don't know how to raise my children. And you're just in a lost place. I want to tell you, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We do not get to heaven any other way. It's not by works. There's no way you can earn your place in heaven. We can't do it. We can't work our way to heaven. It's not even by being a good person, because no one in this room is good enough. It's not through a priest, a preacher, or a denomination. It is through Christ and Christ alone. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Where are my Catalyst kids at? Wave at me. We learned what? Jesus is the only way, right? I see you guys. Jesus is the only way. So your Catalyst kids, they already know this. But we just make sure that it's a firm foundation for mom and dad too, right? Right, Catalyst kids? Amen. And some of you may be towing the line. You're on the fence, contemplating life, asking questions about faith, and having anxious thoughts. The way of the world is really testing you and making you fearful or anxious. And we can feel the weight of the world. We can feel the off balance. It's off kilter. And if you can't sense it, then your eyes aren't open. But you can sense something is happening. Something is different. And I want to tell you, there is a certainty in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to him and you will never be lost. I want to tell you that you can have rest for your weary mind. If you are anxious, if you are fearful, if the world's craziness is really getting to you, Jesus is your way. He is your truth. He is your life. I know God the Father has been working on hearts all week long, because you have a woman or a man or a child sitting next to you who has prayed for you. And maybe you're here because wife asked you to be here, mama asked you to be here, child begged you to be here, but you are here to hear the gospel of truth. And his name is Jesus Christ, and you are here because someone prayed for you. And I know I'm not the only one who feels that this world is crazier than ever. And we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. If you are looking for a way to heaven today, his name is Jesus. Follow him and you will never be lost. If you are looking for a way to peace today, his name is Jesus. He is peace that passes understanding. He is the Prince of Peace. If you are looking for a way to freedom from being bound from your addictions, his name is Jesus. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you are looking for comfort today, maybe you're an exhausted mom in here, and you are just tired. If you are looking for comfort and rest today, and your heart is heavy, his name is Jesus. He has given us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to help us make it through this life. I want to tell you, Jesus is your way, he is your truth, and he is your life. He is your answer. He is the meaning to life. One of my favorite stories to share from the Bible is found in John 4 about the Samaritan woman. And Brother Mario, my friend, he didn't even know, but he kind of touched on what I'm going to talk about. But the Samaritan woman in John 4, she went to the well to draw water so she could drink for the day. But she ran smack dab into the way, the truth, and life. She ran smack dab into living water, to where if she would drink from him, she would never thirst again. And that man's name is Jesus. Jesus met her where she was at. He said, I have need to go to Samaria. Where did this woman come from? Woman come from? Samaria. God set the whole encounter up. And here you sit, Mother's Day 2022, and Jesus is meeting you where you're at. He's meeting you right in the middle of your valley. He's meeting you right in the middle of your struggle. He is meeting you where you are at, just like he did for her. It is not by accident that you are here, hearing the truth right now. The more the woman, the Samaritan woman, and Jesus spoke, the more Jesus took the scales off of her eyes, and the revelation of who Jesus Christ was began to manifest in her soul. She began to realize in her spirit that he was the Messiah, that he was true and living, and here he was speaking to her. Then Jesus did something that would not be very popular today, even among Christians. He confronted her about her sin. Nobody wants to be confronted anymore. There's something called oppositional defiance disorder, ODD, and nobody wants to be opposed. So if you ever get diagnosed with ODD, just realize we all have it. We don't want to be opposed. It's defiance and rebellious against authority. And we don't want to be opposed, but here Jesus was, and he confronted her with her sin. John 4:16, he told her, go call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have had five husbands, and the man you have now in your home is not your husband. Everybody say, ouch. But instead of getting offended, she said, what you have said is quite true. You have to realize about yourself when Jesus confronts you, you have to be, you're right, Jesus. Jesus, you're right. Now, let me just say something. A lot of the world likes to say, well, Jesus sat with sinners. Yes, he did. He sat with sinners, but that wasn't to join them in their sin or be complacent and complicit with their sin. It was to call them unto repentance through him and show them that he was the door and that there was a new and living way, that he was the way, truth, and the life. Jesus confronted her on that one thing she struggled with. Do you just have that one thing? I used to. Praise God, I've been delivered. But I had that one thing that just had its claws in me, and it wouldn't let me go. And she struggled with that one thing, and Jesus confronted her about that one thing. You see, she appeared to be addicted to men. And I don't hear that preached a lot. But she appeared to be addicted to men, and if not addicted to men, addicted to the relationship they provided. Let me tell you something. If you are single and you are not happy single, you will not be happy married. Because you will not be fulfilled through a man or a woman. You can only be fulfilled through Jesus Christ. So maybe in my past, I was addicted to guys. I'm sorry, Brandon. In high school, I could never be single. I wanted to have a boyfriend. But that was wrong because I was trying to be fulfilled through how they made me feel. But I needed Jesus to be my way, truth, and life. When the Lord confronts and convicts you about it, let him show you the way to overcome it. Jesus will help you overcome whatever that one thing is. Don't be offended when God confronts your sin. He confronts the sin to free your soul. He's going to confront your sin to free your soul. After the confronting of sin, the Samaritan woman didn't get offended, but rather she believed in him even the more so because he was telling her things about her life that no one could tell her about except for God. And he knew things about her. And she got saved that day at the well. And she drank from the living water. And she didn't get offended, but she repented. And she went back to the town and she told everybody. She told everybody, I have met the Messiah. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And let me tell you what happened to that town. That town got saved. So your testimony can save a town. The testimonies of everyone in this room can save the city of San Antonio if we would just point them to the way, the truth, and the life, and his name is Jesus Christ. If you've run into the Messiah, you know the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus was the turning point in her life. So we see Jesus did three things in that story. Jesus will challenge your thinking. He will challenge what you think and why you think it and the way you think. He will challenge your thinking. He will challenge what you think you know, for all the academics in here. Jesus will confront your issues. Jesus will transform your entire life. Jesus doesn't leave you the same way he found you. He always restores and makes better, makes new. Jesus is the turning point. Once you meet him, your life should be forever changed, a life that is turned around by grace. Now let us get to part two. Everybody say praise God, part two. And this is a two-part message. Okay, part two. Now that you know the way, you have to go the way. And you have to show the way. Have you allowed the Lord to turn your life around? But I mean, like, really? Have you allowed him to turn your life around? Have you done a 180 or a 360? Because a 180 is turning around. A 360 is turning all the way back around who you used to be, like a dog returns to vomit. You got to be careful. Because let me tell you what the way of the Lord looks like. The way of the Lord looks like forgiveness. If you have any unforgiveness in your heart, you are not walking in the way of the Lord. The way of the Lord looks like forgiveness. I have walked the road of forgiveness. The Lord has forgiven me. So if the Lord has forgiven me, can I not forgive those who trespass against me? And forgive them 70 times 7. The way of the Lord looks like love. If I don't love the people I see in front of me, how can I love God who I cannot see? God is love. We must walk in his love. The way of the Lord looks like kindness and compassion. There are way too many mean Christians. And I just don't get it. Why are you so mean? Why are you so mean? You don't have to be that mean. You can say a lot more things in kindness and it be received than you can with anger and hate than it be received. Anger and hate will meet you with anger and hate. But if you meet them with kindness and compassion, you have an entrance into their heart to show them the way, the truth, and the life. And some people love to see others fall. Where is the compassion? If the Lord has been compassionate towards me, if anybody falls, I don't want to laugh at them. I want to pray for them. The way of the Lord looks like peace. The way of the Lord looks like joy. The way of the Lord looks like righteousness and holiness. The way of the Lord looks like patience. Quit being so impatient. We live in a microwave world where we're just like, we want it 30 seconds and it be done. But that's not how the way things work sometimes. Pastor Brandon tried to cook some bacon this week for us. And you can't put it on high heat and cook it fast because it's going to burn, baby. You got to take it slow and let the bacon cook. We've got to be patient. We've got to be patient. The way of the Lord looks like wisdom. The way of the Lord looks like wisdom. We have too many foolish Christians acting a fool for no apparent reason. Is that how our lives look? The way of the Lord, what I just said, is that how our lives look? Does it look that way to ourselves? Does it look that way to others? Does it look that way to our family? This is what the Lord told the people of Israel in Isaiah 30:21. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." And we know that Jesus is the way, truth, and the life. And he came in the New Testament to show us the way and how to walk in it. This is the way, walk in it. The world's way is not the Lord's way. Your life should not look like the world's. There are too many Christians living a life that I cannot tell the difference between them and the world. There has to be a separation between you and the heathen. There has to be a separation between you and the world. Hosea 14:9 says, "Who is wise? Let them realize these things. Who is discerning? Let them understand. The ways of the Lord are right," regardless of how you feel about them. The ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but get this, the rebellious stumble in them. The rebellious stumble in them. The world is rebellious and so confused because it is tripping over what the Lord has already established. If God has established it, you can't change it. The Lord has already established it, and every argument they make lacks common sense and decency. You can't change God's word because you don't like what it says. And even if you try, that doesn't erase the inerrancy and truth of it, so the world remains confused. Don't be one of the ones that God has to give over to a reprobate mind because of your unwillingness to believe him at his word. Because he's going to hand people over to the reprobate minds. If you continue to refuse to believe, eventually you're going to be handed over to a reprobate mind. You have to believe the word of God, and you have to believe God at his word. And listen, mothers, fathers, step-parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, godparents, everyone in this room, we have got to teach our children the ways of the Lord because the world is coming for them. I am the children's pastor, and I see that the world is coming for our children, and it is our job to protect them. And the responsibility to teach them the ways of the Lord, especially mothers and fathers, is ours. Proverbs 22:6, we know this. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he gets old, he won't depart from it. But you got to put in the work. You have to discipline. You have to correct. God corrects us because he loves us. So if I love my child, I should discipline and correct them in love and show them the way, the truth, and the life. We must invest in our children and teach them in the way of the Lord because they are watching what we do. They hear our words and they see our lives, and then they determine whether or not they want to imitate and reproduce what we have created. Your children will either follow in your footsteps in what you believe or they won't. And this is something I need to say. It's difficult because we like to say, "Do as I say, not as I do," but this "do as I say, not as I do" nonsense isn't working. We have to do what we say and let them see we are living the way of the Lord. We have to be following Christ in this building and outside of this building. When we scream and yell at them on Sunday morning to wake up, let's go, and we curse at them, and then we drop them off at Sunday school, we're sending them two different messages. We need some consistency that our children can see that we walk in the ways of the Lord. Adults in this room, we must lead by example, and we must protect this up-and-coming generation, because if we don't teach them the way, then the world is going to teach them a very different way, and they are going to lead our children away from the Lord, and we already see it happening. And listen, please hear the truth in love. A fake church act isn't helping our children. Just because you fake it in here doesn't mean you get it out there. I want you to still come if you don't quite get it yet, but I need you to get it here and live it out there. A fake church act isn't helping your children. We must not be hypocrites in our walk with the Lord. One thing I cannot stand is hypocrites. I cannot stand fake. Be who you are and own it. Be who you are and own it. I'm a lover of the Lord. I love His law. I delight myself in the Lord. So that's who I'm going to be in this place and out of this place. We see two very different tales of parents in the Old Testament. One tale is a tale of caution. The other is a true victory of following the way of the Lord. So let's read them. 1 Kings 22:52, referring to Ahab's son. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord because he followed the ways of his father and his mother. He did evil in the sight of the Lord because he followed the ways of his father and mother. But let's read a completely different scenario. 2 Chronicles 34:1 through 2. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. Do you see the difference? If you serve the Lord and you keep your eyes on him, your children are going to see how the Lord works in your life and how the world doesn't affect you in your house. And they're going to see that, and they're going to want to replicate that in their life because you have peace, you have joy, you have more than enough. Our children are watching our example of following the Lord. Check the environment you are creating in your home. Check the environment you are creating in your home. Have you created an atmosphere in your home that your children can trust? Have you created an atmosphere in your home that your children can trust? What are you watching? We worry so much about what teenagers are watching. What are you watching? We worry about so much what they're saying. What are you saying? Everyone in this room must decide what their lives will be, a cautionary tale or a true victory of following the way of the Lord. And every house has its own way. Mama, say amen. You have the way of your house. Every house has its way. How is your house going to be? So this is what I've decided for my house. Feel free to steal some of these because they're good. The way of the world is not the way of this house. I don't care what the world is doing. I care about the way of the Lord. In this house, we serve the Lord. In this house, we honor God. In this house, we do not speak profanities. In this house, we do not punch walls in fits of rage, and we do not throw objects across the room in bursts of anger. You will not see me throw something across the room because I'm angry. You won't see Pastor Brandon punch the drywall because he is angry. We don't do that because the Holy Spirit teaches us how to control our anger. Be angry and sin not. In this house, we will allow the Holy Spirit to lead conversations. In this house, we shall have peace. In this house, we trust the Lord. And if something has been done in your home, generation after generation, and you know it's not right, break the cycle. Change the pattern. Decide that it ends with you because you know the way, the truth, and the life. And maybe your forefathers, maybe your grandparents didn't know the way, the truth, and the life, but you do. Break the cycle. Change the pattern. Unhealed wounds from your past should not become your children's scars in their future. I'm going to say that again. Unhealed wounds from your past should not become your children's scars in their future. I've been injured by people, but I'm not going to let those injuries get to my kids. I'm going to shield them as best as I can from the hate and hurt that others give. Allow the Lord to heal you and restore your soul. Through Christ, you can break the cycle of manipulation in your family. Through Christ, you can break the cycle of negativity in your house. Through Christ, you can break the cycle of addiction within your generation. And the way you do that is by coming to Christ, trusting in His way, His truth, in His life. We must trust the Lord with the things that are out of our control. One thing God has recently been helping me with personally is trusting Him that He will keep my children safe when I can't. And that's one of the hardest things to do as a mom, is to say, Lord, I trust you to keep my children safe and take care of them when I can't. And it's hard to let go and let God be in control, but it is absolutely necessary for spiritual survival. We have to learn to trust the Lord with the things that are out of our control. We have to trust the Lord with keeping our children safe when we can't. We have to learn how to go into prayer rather than freaking out every time something happens. I don't like to meddle. You know those meddling people that they just like to get in everybody's business. I don't like to meddle, and I have an 18-year-old son who has done moved out of my house. He thinks he's grown. And he's about to get married, praise God. But he's 18 and he's moved out of my house, so he's an adult and he has to make his own rules, and he's going to get his own house and do his own thing and marry a beautiful girl, and I'm so excited. And it would be really easy to meddle, to get in their business, because I want to sometimes. I don't like meddling usually, but like now I'm like, well, he's out of my house, I need to meddle. Something meddles for me. My prayers meddle for me. My prayers go where I can't go. And when I want to get up all in his business and find out all the facts, and I don't want to annoy him, I say, okay, I'm going to pray about it. Instead of freaking out with what I don't know, I'm going to pray about it. And my prayers meddle, and they go where I cannot go. And the Lord is the only one who can transform hearts. And hearts can be transformed only through him. But sometimes the heart that needs to be transformed is mine. Sometimes I'm praying for you and the Lord's like, no, it's on you, Mandy. Sometimes I'm like, change them, and God's like, you need to change. Your prayers will do the meddling for you. So learn to pray about everything. Learn to go to God about everything. Never underestimate the power of prayer in your life and for your family. God hears the prayers of his children. If you truly believe God heard you, you would pray about everything. Have that belief today. Lord, I know you hear me. I'm your child. And I pray for my children today. Go where I can't go in their lives. Yes. If he made a way for the Israelites in the wilderness and parted the Red Sea for Moses, he can make a way for you and your family and your house.